Colossians chapter number 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Just want to look at this morning a message that I think will be helpful to us in the new year. As we look forward to the year ahead, some things that we should look at and consider in our lives. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul writes under inspiration of the Holy Spirit and says this: "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We want to look this morning at this thing of walking in Christ. What do we need to be doing in 2017? Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless our time together, and then we will get right into the sermon. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you, and we do thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, that we have this place to meet together as a church congregation, Lord, that you've given us a meeting place, Lord, a place where we can have a children's class and where we can have room to grow. And Father, we thank you for this as we look forward to 2017. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of meeting together, the freedom we have to meet together. Father, we thank you for just everything that you've done in our lives and in the life of this church. And Father, we pray this morning that you would meet with us this morning. I pray, Father, that as you, as I preach this morning, Lord, that you would give the right words to say to bring honor and glory to you. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to hearts. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would meet with us this morning and would speak to the hearts of your people, would encourage us for the year ahead, and would challenge us, Lord, for the year ahead, that we might be challenged to live for you and to serve you more faithfully in the coming year. And I pray, Father, that you would just help us to put aside the cares and the concerns of this world, and for the next few minutes, Lord, just to focus on what you have here in this passage. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you know, today is the first day of 2017. And it's always at the beginning of the year, early January, where people are the most optimistic. It's something magical about when that you turn the calendar from one year to the next. And everybody already automatically looks forward to making a fresh start. You know, everybody sets their New Year's resolutions, and everybody sets their goals for the year, and everybody thinks about the opportunities that lie ahead of them, and everybody thinks about the possibilities that a new year holds. And so it's this time of year that people are so optimistic, and I hope that you and your family are optimistic about 2017. I hope that you are looking forward to God doing some good things in your life in the coming year ahead, and making some resolutions and making some goals. We should do those things. Also, at this time of year, though, it's important that we take some time to examine ourselves. It's a good time for some self-examination and some exhortation to start the new year headed in the right direction. Just as the calendar turned over from 2016 to 2017, and we're now embarking on a new year, we want to make sure that we're embarking in the right direction, that we're headed in the right direction. It's a good time for us as a church to take stock and to remember why we are here and what our focus should be. Okay? Why we're here and what the focus of our church should be. The overall context of this passage here in Colossians that we just read is Paul exhorting the church at Colossae not to get off track. Okay, that's the overall context. Just as we read in many of Paul's letters to the churches, he's battling here in Colossians against false teachers, against false doctrine and false teachers. And false teachers had crept into the church. This time it was not the legalists, but it's the Gnostics. Okay, the Gnostics have crept into the church. And we don't have time to go into what Gnostics believe, but needless to say, it's a false teaching. And they had crept into the church and they're seeking to take the Colossians and turn them from the true gospel. And in the midst of this passage, Paul gives the church at Colossae a command that will also serve us well in the new year. He gives them a command that if we will follow it as well, it will serve us in the new year. And he says this, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." That's the command. As you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Though our church does not appear to be under attack from false teachers, and Lord willing, we won't suffer that this year. We won't be under attack from false teachers. Though that is not our case as well, this admonition still would serve us well if we would follow it. If Community Baptist Church is going to remain faithful to Christ in 2017 and be blessed of the Lord, we need to walk in him. If we're going to remain faithful to Christ, then we have to walk in Christ, okay? If we're going to remain faithful to him and be blessed by him, we need to walk in him. This morning, we're going to look at what does it mean to walk in Christ. And we're very fortunate because Paul spells it out for us. He tells us what it means to walk in Christ. So what does it mean to walk in Christ? Look at, he tells us that in verse 6. And then in verse 7, he gives us the explanation. What does it mean to walk in Christ? He says this verse in verse 7, rooted and built up in him. Rooted and built up in him. That's the first step, if you will, of walking in Christ. Being rooted and built up in Christ. That's the first aspect he talks about here. The first terminology Paul uses here, it's an agricultural term. Paul says being rooted in him. Now, we all know that when you plant a seed in the ground, hopefully, when you plant a seed in the ground, it sets roots and it begins to grow a plant. If you're like me, I planted a bunch of peas last summer. And only about half of them set roots and grew. But that's what's supposed to happen when you put a seed in the ground. It's supposed to set roots and it's supposed to grow. In order for a plant to grow, it must have roots. The roots are how the plant draws in the water and draws in the nutrients that it needs to grow and survive. And Paul tells us in verse 6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were planted in Christ. When you trusted him, when you received him, when you recognized that your sinfulness separated you from a holy and righteous God, and you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, then you were planted in Christ. You were like a seed placed into Christ. Christ is the source of your salvation. Christ keeps you and sustains you in this life, and you should be rooted in him. We should not be rooted in the world. We should be rooted in Christ. As the roots of a mighty oak tree go deeper and deeper to find the nourishment and the water that the tree needs, as we mature in Christ, our roots should go deeper and deeper into Christ. As we mature and grow in Christ, we should have a deeper relationship with Christ, not a more shallow relationship with Christ. It's not that, I'm getting more mature, so I don't need Christ so much, I can depend upon myself now. No, as we get more and more mature, our roots should go deeper and deeper into Christ. And so Paul says, be rooted in him. Jesus Christ is the deep soil where we find the strength and the nourishment we need to sustain us in the Christian life. If we're going to be what we should be for Christ in the year ahead, we're going to have to deepen our relationship with Christ. We're going to have to make sure that we have set our roots in Christ and not in the vain philosophy of the world. We need to make sure that, hey, in our personal lives, our roots are set deep into Christ. We need to make sure, hey, in the life of our church, the preaching that goes on in this church, where does it need to be rooted? It needs to be rooted in Christ. It doesn't need to be rooted in my opinion. It needs to be rooted in Christ. That's what the preaching needs to be. And so Paul says, look, if you want to go forward for Christ, if you want to withstand the wiles of these false teachers, you better be rooted in Christ, he says. Peter puts it this way. Peter says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In order to grow, you've got to have roots. In order to grow, you've got to have roots. You've got to be rooted in Jesus Christ. But not only does he say to be rooted in Christ, but then he says this, to be built up in Christ. To be built up in Christ. Paul switches from an agricultural illustration, using agricultural terminology, to using now architectural terminology. That's what this built up means. When he says built up, it means to rear up or to build upon. That's what it means, built up, to build upon. It's a reference to constructing a building. And Paul is telling us that as we mature and as we grow, as we become more like Christ, okay, our outward lifestyle, that outward part that everyone else sees, that outward lifestyle, that outward personality that is supposed to reflect Christ, it needs to be built upon Christ, okay? It's first it was the roots, the hidden part, the part that you cannot see. And now it is the built up, the building that you can see. And that needs to be built upon Christ as well. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. And we need to make sure that we are built upon the right foundation. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You're in Colossians, just two books prior in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And Paul writes this in Ephesians 2. He says this, now therefore, verses 19 and 20, now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. So he says, look, you're Christians now. You're no longer alienated from God. You're not strangers. You're not foreigners. But you are fellow citizens of the saints, of the other believers. And the foundation for you is the prophets and the apostles. And then he says this, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He is the main part of the building. When they used to lay the cornerstone, it was the big stone that they put at the corner of the building. And everything was lined up with that stone. And everything was measured from that stone. It was what the rest of the building was built around. The cornerstone. And Paul says, look, you need to be built up in Christ. Peter says this. 1 Peter 2:5, you don't have to turn there, but Peter says this. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He says, you're lively stones, and you are being built a spiritual, you personally are building yourself a spiritual house. The personality, the life you are building upon Christ is the spiritual house. You are a holy priesthood, and you offer up spiritual sacrifices. He says, you are lively stones built upon Jesus Christ. Paul says, look, if you're going to withstand these things, if you're going to be headed in the right direction, he says, first of all, you better be rooted in Christ. But secondly, he says, you better be built upon Christ. The verb that Paul uses here for built up is in a tense that indicates continuous action. It is something that is ongoing in life. It's something that does not stop. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I have attained. I have achieved. I have arrived. I can stop now. No. There is no end to it. There's no end to being built up in Christ, being built upon Christ, and then allowing him to shape you. Are we built upon that cornerstone? I'm sorry, as we build upon that cornerstone, Our outward actions and what other people see of us needs to reflect Christ. It needs to reflect Christ because it's supposed to be built upon Christ. As Christians, we are called to show the love of Christ to other people. And the only way we can do that is if we are built up upon Him and built up in Him. As in the example of the oak tree. If you see the oak tree when it's, you know, it starts small and maybe just a single trunk there with a few branches. But as that oak tree grows and it gets bigger and it gets bigger and the branches spread out, the unseen roots must go deeper and deeper. And the unseen roots must spread farther and farther to support that tree. Otherwise, when the wind blows, it's just going to fall over. The roots are what hold that tree in place. And the same is true in our Christian life. If our outward representation of Christ grows and grows, and our roots don't grow at all, if I, you know, a good example would be this. I'm the pastor. I'm supposed to be the spiritual leader of the church. And as the church grows and I have more responsibilities for more people in the congregation and I have to preach more often and all these things, and all of the outward representation grows, but the roots are not growing, I'm setting up in a dangerous situation where I'm going to fall flat on my face. As you grow in Christ and as the outward representation of Christ in your life grows and grows, your roots better be growing as well, or else the tree is just going to topple over. It's just going to fall over. And so as we grow in Christ, our hidden life in Christ needs to grow as well. As the outer life in Christ grows, the hidden life in Christ needs to grow. What does that mean? That means when no one else is watching, you better be reading your Bible. In that private time you have in your life when other people are not watching you, that hidden time, you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be spending some private time in prayer. You need to be building your inner man upon Christ. You need to be sending those roots down deeper into Him. As the outer grows, the inner must grow as well. The Christian life is not about putting on a false outward show. It's about having a deep and abiding relationship with Christ. And that's why we are both to be rooted and to be built up at the same time. The hidden life must develop as much as the external life, because the hidden life sustains the external life. The roots sustain the building. And Paul says, look, you need to be rooted in Christ and you need to be built up in Christ. In 2017, Community Baptist Church needs to seek to be rooted and built up in Christ. That's what we need for the year ahead. As individually, that's what we need, and corporately, that's what we need. But then secondly, he says this in verse 7. He says, rooted and built up in Him. And then he says this, and established in the faith as ye have been taught. And established in the faith as ye have been taught. The second aspect of walking in Christ is this, being established, we would say today established, but being established in the faith. That's the second aspect of walking in Christ, being established in the faith. It is important to note here that Paul is not speaking about your personal faith. Paul is not speaking about your personal faith in this context right here. He's not saying you need to establish your faith. No, that's what being rooted and built up is about, establishing your faith. That's not what he's talking about. He says we are to be established in the faith. Not your faith, but in the faith. We're to be established in the faith. What Paul is saying is this, is that we need to be established in the truth and doctrine of Christianity. That's what Paul is saying. We need to be established, we need to be steadfast in the truth and the doctrine of Christianity. He is talking about us having a knowledge and an understanding of the truth. A knowledge and an understanding of the Word of God. That's what he means, established in the faith. The word established means to be stable, to be firm, to be steadfast, to be sure. And Paul is saying we must be stable and steadfast in what we believe, in the faith. He's saying you need to be steadfast in the faith. And why was he telling the Colossians this? Because there were people coming in trying to draw them away, trying to point them in the wrong direction. In Ephesians, he was battling a similar situation in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians 4:14, he's talking to them about also being grounded in the faith. He says this in Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He tells the Ephesians the same thing. Hey, you need to be steadfast in your faith. Why? So that you will no more be like children. You can tell a kid anything and they'll believe what you say. You tell children whatever and they believe what you say. It's a running joke in our family. I told my son that girls chase boys. Okay? Girls chase boys. And the reason we got married, Elizabeth and I got married, is because I did not run fast enough or far enough. And so she caught me. And now Samuel believes, in a silly sense, that girls chase boys. He said to Paul Paul the other day, he said, how far do you have to run? Well, you just got to keep running, you know? And so he has this thing in his mind. Kids believe what you tell them. And Paul says, look, you need to be steadfast and established in your faith so you won't be like children. You won't believe what any idiot comes by and tells you, what the Bible says. No, you'll know what the Bible says. When a false teacher comes and tells you something, oh yeah, this is what the Bible says. No, you won't be like a child and led astray. He says you won't be blown about with every wind of doctrine. Every little thing you hear on the TV, every little thing you see on the internet won't catch your attention and drag you away. He says, no, you need to be established in the faith. And then he talks about these things are the sleight of men. They are cunning craftiness and they lie in wait to deceive. That's what false teachers do. They look for people who they can deceive. They are cunning and they are sly and they look for people who they can deceive. And Paul says, look, you need to be careful about this thing. He says you need to be established, not in your faith. Your faith is established by the rooting and the building up. You need to be established in the faith. And so just as he was warning the Ephesians against false teachers, he's warning the Colossians against false teachers as well. And his point is this, if we are established in the faith, then we will be steadfast and we will not be susceptible to deception and to be blown around by every little false doctrine that comes along. And so he says, be established in the faith. Now listen, it's good to know what you believe. It's good to know what you believe. What do I believe about Jesus Christ? I believe he is God in the flesh. I believe he lived a perfectly sinless life. He was born of a virgin. That he lived a perfectly sinless life. That he went to the cross for my sins. That he was buried and he died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he bought my pardon from sin. That's what I believe. But why do you believe it? Just as important as it is to know what you believe, it is important to know why you believe it. And that is when you become established in the faith. Not just what do you believe, but why do you believe it? To know what I believe but have no understanding of the rationale behind it means I'm not really established in the faith. I'm built on a shaky foundation. If I know what I believe but I don't know why I believe it, I'm on a shaky foundation. Paul gives us a qualifier along with this statement. Look in verse 7, he says, and established in the faith, what? As ye have been taught. There's a qualifier that goes along with it. You're to be established in the faith as you have been taught. Okay? Paul is telling them they need to be settled in and faithful to the truth that they have been taught. Paul is referring to the truth that had been taught to the Colossians by faithful men. Now, Paul had never been to Colossae. He says, we read it already. He says, for as many have not seen my face in the flesh. Paul had never been to Colossae. He had never taught there. But he knew the men who did teach there. And he knew the pastors of Colossae. And so he's telling them, look, you need to be faithful to the truth. You need to be established in the faith as you have been taught. He knew that the men in Colossae were faithful teachers. Today, we don't have the benefit of apostles who teach us direct revelation from God. I am not an apostle. Anyone who tells you today they are an apostle is a liar. And you need to mark it down that they are a false prophet. There are no apostles today. An apostle would bring in the New Testament direct revelation from God. There were qualifications for an apostle. Okay, I do not go home and God does not speak to me audibly and then I bring you what God says. No, I preach God's word. God's already told us what he says. So we don't have the benefit of apostles today. But you know what we do have? We have the truth, the recorded truth that we need here in these 66 books. This is the benefit that we have today. Yes, they had the apostles, but they did not have it written down for them. Today, we have it written down, and we do not have the benefit of having apostles, but we have the Bible. And if we have a question about something we've been taught, where do we need to go? We need to go to God's Word. We need to see what the Scriptures say. Acts 17:11 talks about a group of people called the Bereans. And Luke writes about the Bereans in Acts 17. And he says this, the Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. So they received the word with readiness of mind. The word of God was preached, and they were happy and willing to receive it. And it says this, and search the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So they were happy to receive it. They were ready to receive it. But then what did they do? They looked in the Bible to see if what they had been taught was true, if those things were so. And so we don't have the benefit of having apostles today. But you know what we've got? We've got the Word of God. And so we can look and see whether the things that we've been taught are so. And Paul says this, you need to be established in the faith as you have been taught. We need to be established in the faith as revealed to us in the Word of God. That's where we need to look. Now, you do have a pastor, and a pastor does teach you. But you need to look to the Word of God and see, is what he is teaching true? Is it true? Are you established in the faith? I guarantee you, those Bereans were established in the faith, because they knew they needed to go to the Word of God to see what was going on. If we're going to be established in the faith in 2017, we should have a readiness of mind to receive the teaching of God's Word, but we must also be in our Bibles confirming what we've heard, confirming and understanding why we believe it. So Paul says, look, you need to be rooted and built up in Christ, and you need to be established in the faith. And then he says this in the last part of verse 7. He says this, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Abounding therein. So first, we need to be rooted and built up. Second, we need to be established in the faith. And now Paul says you need to be abounding therein. You need to be abounding in those things. Now, the word abound means this, to be in excess, whether in quality or quantity. So to be in excess, whether in quality or quantity. To be more abundant, to exceed or excel. Paul says we're to abound in these things. What things? Being rooted and built up and being established. Those are the things we're to abound in. He says abound in these, okay? To be rooted and built up and to be established in the faith. That is what we're supposed to abound in. We should be more abundant. We should excel in these things in 2017. We should be sinking our roots deeper into Christ. We should be readily building upon the foundation of Christ. And we should be establishing ourselves by getting a better understanding of the faith. And that's how we are going to abound in these things, as Paul said. However, Paul tells us not only to abound, but he says this, but to abound with thanksgiving. Not just to abound, but to be thankful for it, to abound with thanksgiving. First of all, we should be thankful for salvation and what Christ has done for us. We should be thankful that we are rooted in Him. And we should also be thankful that He's given us the Word of God and that we can have a solid understanding of the Christian faith. And so we should be thankful for all these things. We recognize these blessings that we receive from Him, and in turn, we offer Him the sacrifice of our praise. We give thanks through our praise. That is the cycle there. We recognize the blessing and we in turn give the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. However, this admonishment is given two times. It's given once, but there's a couple reasons. First of all, we are thankful because we're saved and we have the Bible and all those things. But there's another reason that he admonishes us to be thankful. And I believe it's this. As you become more rooted and grounded in Christ, a lot of times you face opposition. As you become more rooted and grounded in Christ, then God changes you. You're being conformed to the image of His Son. And many times when that happens, you begin to face opposition. Whether it's from within your own family, and people say, well, you know, you're not like you used to be. Or maybe it's from your own friends who say, hey, you don't do the things we used to do. We used to go out to the pub every night and have a few drinks. Why don't you want to do that anymore? And as you become rooted and built up and grounded in Christ and established in the faith, and you begin to put sin out of your life and put ungodly habits out of your life, a lot of times you begin to face some opposition. People are not happy with the new you. And when that happens, it's hard to give thanks. Giving thanks is not the first instinct that comes to your mind when you begin to face opposition. But Paul says this. Paul says, abound therein with thanksgiving. He says, you abound in it with thanksgiving. You give thanks if it's good or if it's bad. When there's difficulties arise because you're growing closer to Christ, give thanks, even though that may not be the first instinct because you're facing opposition. Paul writes later, I believe it's in Thessalonians, he writes and says this, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything, whether it's good or whether it's bad, give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God for you to give thanks. And so he says, look, abound in these things. We should abound in these things. Going forward, our roots should be going deeper. We should be being built up. We should be established in the faith. We should be abounding in that. But we should also be giving thanks for it. Looking ahead into 2017, Community Baptist Church needs to maintain our focus and our foundation on Christ. We don't need to deviate. We don't need to start chasing the philosophies of the world. We don't need to start chasing these church growth movements and all this stuff. We just need to be focused on Christ. The Lord tells us how to do that. By walking in Him. That's how you do it. Corporately, we need to endeavor to keep the church rooted in and built upon Christ. We need to make sure the church is securely established in the faith. We need to make sure that the church has an attitude of thanksgiving in these areas. And we need to do that corporately as the church. Individually, if we're going to have a spiritually prosperous 2017, we need to apply these truths to our lives. So let me ask you some questions this morning. Are you rooted and built up in Christ? Are you rooted and built up in Christ? Is your hidden life sustaining your external life? Is my hidden life, is my private time with God sustaining my external life? Or are you like a tree with no roots? Am I like a tree with no roots? You try to put on the outward show of being a Christian, but the underlying relationship with Christ is not there to sustain it. Are you rooted and built up in Christ? Resolve in 2017 to spend time, private time with God in prayer, in your Bible, and deepen your roots with Jesus Christ. Give Him the preeminence in your life because that's what He deserves. And that's where He's supposed to be. Are you established in the faith? Are you steadfast in what you believe? Or are you tossed to and fro by every new doctrine you hear? Every new thing you hear, you think, oh yeah, that's got to be true. They said it comes from the Bible. Or are you established in the faith? Do you trust the Word of God as your final authority? Or do you view it skeptically? Are you established in the faith? Resolve to spend more time studying and understanding the Word of God. Not just, you know, if I'm going to read my Bible through this year, I've got to read 4 chapters a day. So I've got to get this checked off my list. Read my 4 chapters and I'm done. No. Are you reading it and soaking it in and taking some time to study the Word of God as well. Are you established in the faith? And thirdly, are you abounding therein with thanksgiving? Are you abounding in these areas, or are you just barely, you know, baby steps, barely creeping along? Or are you abounding? Or worse yet, are you backsliding? You know, Pastor, I used to read my Bible. I used to pray. Are you abounding? Are you barely moving? Or are you backsliding? And are you giving thanks as you abound? Resolve to give thanks in all aspects and circumstances in life. Paul had important instructions for the church at Colossae. If they wanted to withstand the lies of the false teachers and stay on track following Christ, they needed to walk in Him. Look, if we're going to stay on track, going the way we need to go, following Christ, we need to walk in Him. We need to make sure we're rooted and built up in Him. We need to make sure that we're established in the faith. Not just that our faith is strong, but that our faith is in the right place. Okay? That we're established in the faith as we have been taught. Not just making up new doctrines, but as we have been taught. And abounding therein with thanksgiving. Those are the things we need to do if we're going to stay on course in 2017. It is my prayer that in 2017, Community Baptist Church will walk in Christ and will withstand Satan's distractions. Make no doubt about it. In the last year, the size of our church has nearly doubled. Make no doubt about it. Satan is not pleased with that. And he will try to get us distracted in 2017. But it is our job to walk in Christ and to follow Him. And that's what we need to be doing in the year ahead. Steadfast, established in the faith, rooted and built up, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we do love You. And Lord, we thank You for this challenge that Paul gave to the church at Colossae. Lord, because it is very applicable to us today. We face the same issues today, Lord. It's very easy for us to get off track and chase the wrong thing today.